This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 17. Right now, the number one PC game on Metacritic as far as rating. Not the number one sports game, the number one game, period. As of May 1st, a Metacritic rating of 93 on the PC. And that's because, well, let's face it, Out of the Park 17 is the best baseball strategy game ever made. It lets you run every aspect of your club from either the front office and or in the dugout. It's fully licensed by Major League Baseball and the MLBPA, which means you've got all the authentic 2016 opening day rosters, plus all the real minor league guys. Plus, you've got every season ever from 1871 through 2015 with the Major League and the minor league teams. It's amazing. You can build your own custom baseball worlds. You can play solo. You can play in online leagues. There's so much that you can do with Out of the Park Baseball 17. You can get it today for $39.99 on the Mac, on the PC, on Linux. You can get it through Steam, or you can get it directly from ootpdevelopments.com. And if you use the code PRESS17, P-R-E-S-S-1-7, you will get an additional 10% off. So that is Out of the Park Baseball 17.
Almost a year ago, I wrote a piece on Hit the Pass about the broken sports game release schedule, and we also tackled that briefly on a podcast. Unfortunately, not only has the situation failed to improve since then, it appears to actually be getting worse. Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, presented by Hit the Pass. I'm your host, Brian Weedeye, Pasta Padre. And with the news of NBA 2K17's release date being earlier than ever before, it's actually the second earliest an NBA video game will have ever released. This is a topic that required revisiting, as the impact of almost all sports games releasing in this very compressed window on the genre and on consumers is considerable. So with me for this episode is Rich Grisham from Out of the Park Developments and Owen Good from Polygon, frequent panelists here. Rich, how you been doing, man?
Been doing great. It's always good to be here. Always good to talk to you, Brian, and always good to talk to Owen, two of my favorite people.
Oh, well, that means a lot to me, actually. Thank you. What have you been up to lately, Rich, as far as Out of the Park Baseball? What's going on over there?
Well, we are having a whole lot of fun with Out of the Park Baseball. A lot of good stuff going on. Obviously, TJ, a good friend of the show, does the Twitch streams on Wednesday nights, and he's trying to get the Braves to the World Series by 2020, and that's a very entertaining series watching him go through that.
Good luck.
Yeah, not easy. Not easy at all. God bless him for trying it. The game is doing really well. It remains the top-rated game on Metacritic, which is something we're really proud of. So that's cool. And Franchise Hockey Manager 2, doing the same thing over there. We're doing our Twitch streams on Wednesday. Franchise, you know, shameless shilling right now. Franchise Hockey Manager 2 is on sale for $10 for a week in honor or celebration of the Stanley Cup final. So if you've been thinking about Franchise Hockey Manager 2 and haven't, now is a great time. So that's all going on and out of the park. As far as video games go, if you recall, I'm sure you do, one of my favorite sports video games of this sports video game year has been Pro Evolution 16. I've been playing it a lot. Mm-hmm. Well, after I went through my second complete season, and I ultimately in year two, as Everton remade the team and won the Premier League, I said, you know what? I'm going to go check out FIFA, because not that I wasn't enjoying Pro Evolution, I was. But for all of the reasons that I love Pro Evolution, the gameplay, you know, the fluidity, and the fact that when you play a soccer game, you know, 100 games over the course of a couple of seasons, you really just start to learn the systems and really, you know, it just, when you spend that much time with a game, you really just, it unveils itself to you in a different way. You just learn a whole lot more about a game. And I'm like, you know what? I want to kind of try FIFA 16. I mean, I played a bit of FIFA 16 when it first came out, but, you know, as we'll talk about, there were so many other games happening at the time.
Sure.
And at that point, it didn't grab me so much. I went back to it, and, you know, again, we talk about it all the time, but, boy, the licenses, you know, the real clubs, the real stadiums is just, you know, when you're in Pro Evo and you don't have that experience, And you do. It's really nice. But I also, FIFA 16, in doing kind of the same thing, picking up Everton, trying to remake the club, although it's very different, it seems like it's a lot easier to get players in Pro Evo than it is in FIFA. I don't know if I just have some different default settings or FIFA is just, it's more difficult. But like a couple of players I had bought in Pro Evo, like Daniel Alaba, one of the top rated cornerbacks in the world. I got him for probably 35 or 40 million in Pro Evo, and they want 75 million for him in FIFA. Mm. And I don't even have like half that as a budget. So, you know, my goal to try to rebuild the same team looks like that's going to be difficult. But I've probably played now 20 games into the campaign, and I'm really, really enjoying it. Again, is a lot of it just has to do with the fact of all the real licenses, the real stadiums, the real clubs and stuff. But also FIFA 16, I mean, it's a, you know, shocker. It's actually a really good game. I mean, I know it didn't necessarily hit the mark with you this year, Brian, like it has in years past. But, right. I mean, it's still underneath the hood a very, very, very well-built soccer game. And I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And so, yeah, I've been playing that. That's been pretty much, other than playing MLB The Show on the treadmill, which I continue to do with my Mets. And I'm well into I'm pretty much only a week behind in real time right now because I started the season probably 3 weeks after the real season started. But yeah, it's been a lot of FIFA 16 with Everton and then a bit of MLB The Show. That's what I've been playing.
Yeah. Owen, how you been? What have you been working on and playing lately?
In sports, I've been playing MLB The Show with my big fat ass knuckleball pitcher, Herschel Country Breakfast Zahn.
Of course, he's famous on Twitter, yes. I believe. Yes.
Yes. He was named for discovering the guy who discovered Uranus. But anyway, he just finished his third season and came in third for the Cy Young somehow, despite having a whip underneath a buck 05 for a knuckleball pitcher. Let me reiterate that. And despite an ERA that was sub 1.2 for a knuckleball pitcher, wow. Let me reiterate that. Jose Fernandez and Clayton Kershaw were the 1 and 2 finishers for that award. And I think that sort of exposes let's just say that I think that exposes the great credit reflected upon a strikeout pitcher in this game. Mm. Because I'm up there and I don't care. I throw trash. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever gets a guy out, if he grounds down to third, fantastic. If he strikes out on three pitches, it's the same result to me. Mm-hmm. did have a memorable all-star outing, was not the starter. I came in, I think, in the third inning for one inning of work because the starter would have worked too. Yeah, that's right. And with Mike Trout, struck him out not only on three straight pitches, not only on three strikes, not only on three called strikes. They were all checked swing called strikes.
That's unbelievable.
It was absolutely glorious. I have never that is probably the greatest sports video game accomplishment I have ever had, and it was completely spontaneous. You know, just there's no way you can engineer that. It rivals how I won the Masters when Augusta National was first presented in Tiger Woods PGA Tour 12. Where I birdied out of the sand trap on number 17 in the final round, you know, to get to to make up one shot against Tiger Woods, of course, because they always send him after you. Mm. There's a YouTube video of it. I'd be glad to share it with anybody. And that, in fact, I did repeatedly. I was so proud. I still can't get over that. And, it's been – I have not begun the playoffs yet. Dodgers first place, searching my – I've been fooling around with Fallout because they launched the it wasn't the Far Harbor DLC that got me, or even the modding. It was the survival mode. Mm. You know, 'cause now it's like, okay, this is really for real. And I'm like, wow. And it takes a long time to do some of the most basic things that you expected to do in that game. So that's taken up a lot of my time. And I actually, after WWE Extreme Rules last week, I went in and played some 2K17. I was like, I'm going to redo my career and have a lot of fun with this. And I was like, yeah, actually, this is really hard.
2K16, you know? That is correct.
Yeah, 2K, I'm sorry, 2K16.
Yeah.
2K17 is the thing that's going to have Goldberg or whatever.
Yeah, and out this October, correct, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah, this October. And we'll talk about that. But anyway, that's sort of where I've been with it. I've been bouncing back and forth between some old reliables and I haven't really, you know, I had Homefront the Revolution because I was really, really intrigued by the whole story behind this. And I really do think that the story of that game, you know, in the game is intriguing and is like really fertile ground for the military shooter genre. And I've seen the reviews, and I know everybody's disappointed in it. And I had it on pre-order, actually, because I took a bunch of games back to GameStop and had the credit applied to it. I haven't played a minute of that thing, so I've got some work to do.
You know, it's funny you mention, Owen, about how the game being too hard. If I don't know if you guys remember, but last year in FIFA, I had sort of in my campaign with Everton, I was struggling, and it wound up being a pretty dramatic last 10 games of the campaign just to not be relegated, because my, you know, ability to play mm-hmm. a game like FIFA well enough in a league like the Premier League was so poor that, you know, I wound up finishing, I think, fourth or fifth from the bottom. And, of course, the bottom three are the ones who get relegated. And it came down to the last couple of matches of the campaign. That's how bad it was. This year, even I'm only about 15 games in, but I'm already in the top four. And mm-hmm. it's because I have played a lot of Pro Evolution and I have played a lot of FIFA. And I've gotten into these zones where for 2 or 3 months, 2 or 3 nights a week for 2 or 3 matches a night, I will just play the games. And it's not like I'm playing dozens of hours a week, but I'm playing regularly over the course of 3-4 weeks, 2-3 months, these games. And when you get into that sort of zone, you really start to obviously get better at the game. And it's interesting how, again, FIFA is not a game I have played a tremendous amount of over the years. It's always been behind Madden and behind NBA 2K and behind, more often than not, NHL, you know, in those fall games. It's always been a game I've enjoyed, but I've just never, it's never been there. But it, you know, for whatever reason, the soccer games have been speaking to me, and I've, because those were the only couple of games I was playing for an extended period of time, other than, you know, in our, you know, once or twice a week playing our Madden League games, right? You know, and
yeah,
and so on. You just get better at them. It's amazing how that happens. And it's also kind of, I could see if I don't play these games for 3 or 4 weeks, I will revert quickly back to not really understanding it. Like, I don't think it takes that long, you know, to lose that kind of a feel. But I was used to be terrible at FIFA. It's nice actually being okay at it now on the professional, you know, setting, which is a, you know, that's a decent level. Like, you got to have some idea what you're trying to do when you play on that level.
All right, so yeah, I've been playing more of the show Diamond Dynasty. That's just a staple for me now. I played and completed Uncharted 4, which was fantastic. And although, you know, that game is amazing, but it did start to get a little tiring. So I'm glad it's kind of the last one. I'm happy about that. The other thing...
Wait, hold on. Before you go on, when you say tiring, what do you mean? Like, just because you were sort of wanting to be at the end by the end, or because you played enough of that franchise? What do you mean by that?
The mechanics, essentially. I mean, it was. There's a formula to Uncharted. There's a formula to every game. But there's a formula Uncharted where you get to a sequence, and you'll climb, and you'll jump, and you'll climb some more, and so it's just, I think the formula just got a little tired to me. I mean, I probably Tomb Raider this earlier this year was not a better game, but I probably enjoyed it a little more just because it was a little different. They have different mechanics. They have different features to utilize and different creative ways to approach things. And I think Uncharted just kind of continued what it had been doing well for so long. And so, you know, I loved it. The story was fantastic, but there were some chapters in there that were a little bogged down or a little slow. And then, you know, you can only see the same type of set pieces so many times before they kind of lose their excitement value. You know, the thrill kind of wore off for me a little bit. I enjoyed, you know, it's such a well-made game. So I enjoyed it because of that. But
I played the first two, but did not play the third and have not yet picked up the fourth. You know, because I've just been so happy playing the games that I have. It's like I know I will. Well, I don't know. I assume I will play Uncharted 4 at some point, but I'm probably going to wait for it to where I can get it for, you know, half price at some point or something like that. You know, there's just so many games to play. It's very difficult for me to justify to myself paying $60 for a game when between Xbox Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus and, you know, the sports games that I always get. I mean, my gosh, that's already more gameplay than I could possibly experience. And every month just more gets added to it.
No,
so
I know it. So the other one is a game I'm working on a review of now, and it'll be up within the next couple days, and that's Dangerous Golf, which is something I looked at after Rocket League last year. I started to look at these independently developed games in a different way. You know, what is their potential to break out and kind of not only fill the void of arcade sports games, but also appeal to a different audience? Rocket League appealed to everyone, not just soccer, not just racing people. So Dangerous Golf is basically Crash Mode from the Burnout series. It's from the same developers who created that series. They took Crash Mode and replaced.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That was great, that Crash Mode.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So they basically replaced the car, you know, the cars and the vehicles and the wrecks that you had in Crash Mode with a golf ball, and you're within a setting. Usually it's room, like enclosed rooms. There's a few that are outdoors, but they're still limited location. And you're trying to do the most damage possible. And so you hit off the tee, then you get these smash breakers, which is the ball ignites, and then you have a certain amount of time to cause as much damage as possible. So I thought conceptually, it's pretty appealing because, again, we and a lot of people love that Crash Mode from Burnout. Unfortunately, it really doesn't stand on its own very well. I mean, that's a great side mode for a game, but for a $20 game of its own, it doesn't really work for me. There are some technical issues. There's some frame rate issues. There's the camera is problematic. Because it's very close in on the ball, and oftentimes you won't even see where you're going because there's stuff all around you. And I mean, it's fun, and it's kind of addictive because it's, again, you're trying to beat your own score. You're trying to rise the leaderboards. You're trying to unlock new courses. But that fun and that addictive nature, it doesn't stick around for very long, unfortunately. And I've seen some other reviews as I was finishing mine up mostly today, and they're all pretty much in agreement that it just doesn't have the excitement, it doesn't have the flair of what you would expect this to have, unfortunately. So it was something I thought had a lot of promise, but I don't think they really nailed it as well as they could have. But it's their first attempt at any game for this studio now. So it's not definitely not a bad game. But for $20, it feels more like a mobile game to me, just in the structure and everything. And it's something that I would play for a few minutes, but not extended sessions.
Well, is it something like Rocket League, where it's the start of something that there's a plan to add to it, and it's going to get bigger and more polished, and do we know, or is it really this is what it is and check it out? Like, do we know?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, they have not discussed any sort of post-release support or anything like that. This feels like something they put together as their first effort out of a studio, as like the start of, here's how we're going to start making games. Let's do one. Let's see what we can create, and then we'll move on to the next. I don't get the sense this is going to develop into something more, and I don't get the sense it's going to really catch on with people. Certainly not in the way Rocket League did, but it was something I was really looking forward to, and maybe my expectations were raised a little bit because of how much, not only how much I liked the Crash Mode and Burnout, but also because I saw what Rocket League could do. So it's a decent game, but at $20, I wouldn't be able to recommend it. All right, so let me lay this all out to start with, guys. From August 23rd to September 20th, that's a four-week period, okay? The following sports games will release: Madden 17, NHL 17, FIFA 17, Pro Evolution Soccer 2017, NASCAR Heat Evolution, and NBA 2K17, which is now coming out on September 16th. So it's no wonder NBA Live wouldn't want to be a part of anything going on in September. You know? So this doesn't even include any other games that might slide into that window. Forza Horizon 3 is a possibility for September also. So first, let's talk about the 2K news first. Because this, I had an immediate reaction to it. I'm curious to hear what you guys thought when you first found out that, hey, 2K is releasing on September 16th, when traditionally NBA games would come out the first Tuesday in October, or in even, you know, farther back, a decade back, it used to be more towards the end of October. This is when the NBA season starts, Halloween, end of October. Now we're starting NBA 2K17. It's going to be out 6 weeks before the season even starts. So, Owen, when you found out about the release date, what came to mind first?
That they don't consider themselves a sports game.
Oh yeah.
That they are going up, you know, strongly against other games that begin the fall release cycle. And when I say they don't consider themselves a sports game, that's not, you know, a pejorative. It's not a that, you know. I think that 2K, Take-Two, Visual Concepts, they consider themselves, you know, something a lot larger than the subject that they cover. And, you know, they're going to put the game out when they damn well please.
Sure.
And I also, you when you talk about just initial reactions, my other reaction was, if, you know, if they had license to move up the launch date, that, I mean, when is NBA opening day? October, yeah. Still,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's usually right around Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So, you know, that hasn't changed. And so, you know, it made me wonder if, like, 2K said, well, if NBA Live, and again, we have absolutely no reason to believe that that's ever going to come out on a console in the coming year. So if 2K goes, well, if NBA Live is out of the space altogether for launch day on consoles, you know, can we cut our own deal here? And the NBA said, sure, why not? Hmm. You know, go when you want to. You know, 2K, although it was a different publisher, still Visual Concepts, it was under Sega, they had an NFL product in July, you know, the celebrated NFL 2K5 more than a decade ago. It's interesting to me, but to me it speaks of a company that looks on NBA 2K as something that isn't restricted to a calendar, you know, a sports calendar, and is its own phenomenon, is its own Call of Duty, is its own you know, Titanfall, Battlefront, Battlefield, whatever the hell, you know, that's going to be getting the Walmart ride-along ads that you see on TV. Hmm. And I think that that's kind of what's behind this.
So, Rich, what did you think when the news first came out?
Well, first of all, I thought that it was brilliant because, I mean, these guys are the best. there's no doubt that the team that markets, produces, and delivers NBA 2K are the gold standard right now. And what's really funny is what Owen says makes complete sense to me, but that's not what I thought. What I thought is, you know what, these guys are typically the best-selling sports game over a calendar year, but are always behind Madden for a long period of time in the charts because they release 6 to 8 weeks after Madden. And I thought to myself, they said, you know what? Let's fix that. Let's just release right around when Madden does, because that's, you know, that's the only hill left to climb, so to speak, right? And you know, there. So it's funny because that's kind of what I thought. They're like, you know what? Let's knock that one off the list of things that you could say about us. So that I kind of just figured that they thought two things. Number one, let's become the number one sports game by sales 6 months earlier than we do, because they always catch up and beat Madden, you know, but usually takes till what, April or May of the, you know, after release. But the other thing I thought is, and I don't know if it's coincidental or not, but you know, NBA 2K16 became available in June as the PlayStation Plus game, one of the two free games.
Right.
And so if they're going to have the game become free to PlayStation Plus subscribers around the time of the NBA Finals, well, if you move up your release date by two or three or four weeks, that gives you potentially an additional 2, 3, or 4 weeks worth of sales, whether they are full price day one sales or whether they are, you know, discounted sales a bit little later on or something. And I don't know if there is any material difference in the number of sales that they would or would not get over the course of, you know, 4 weeks or so in May or June, probably not. But on the other hand, I guarantee you there's a lot of people out there who watch the NBA playoffs and the conference finals and the NBA finals and want to play as the Warriors, or they want to play as the Cavaliers or as the Spurs or as the Thunder. And, you know, they walk into a store and they see it for $20, they'll get it there, or they'll, you know, jump on that PlayStation Plus. So I thought those two things. Number one, they're kind of tired of being the number two game in sales, according to the charts. And number two, if they're going to be free around the time of the finals, might as well get an extra few weeks worth of sales out of it if they can.
Actually, this is very intriguing, because in the past, you'd go to E3, there would be nothing for NBA 2K.
Right.
And there are tons of games launching in September that have huge presences at E3. And so it's like, you know, You go to E3 and they'd give you a preview maybe of whatever their opening sort of montage game would be, you know, Spurs versus Heat or whatever in years past. So it's two things. Number one is it demonstrates confidence that they can deliver this in what would be a shortened development cycle.
Yeah, good point. Yep.
Okay, so that's the first thing. And then, you know, the second thing is, well, what are we going to see in Los Angeles, if anything? I'm not going to be there. I'm working for Polygon from New York, so I won't be in any kind of booth. But, you know, that's really amazing to move up the date like that for a sports title. The last time any major brand did that, it was Tiger Woods when they added Augusta National and they moved the game up 3 months. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and let's not diminish that. I mean, you know, the guys that make this game, this is not a massive studio. It is a relatively speaking small number of people making this game. So what that says to me is, you know, similar to what you said, there's a lot of confidence there that they know what they're delivering, and they've got a great plan, and they feel confident in their ability to do it. But also, you know, I think it you know, without knowing anything, it sure seems to me like they've really got it together over there. They know now the systems that they're working on. They understand what the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One can give them. They've probably got a number of things that they've been working on for a couple of 2 or 3 years that are going to get introduced. So I have a feeling that they've also know that they've really hit their stride with being able to get what they can out of this, as well as understanding their design. And Brian, in what his reporting the last couple of days has really intrigued me with talking about how Paul George is the as the cover athlete and the potential storyline around him coming back from the injury, and then mix that in with Olympics mm-hmm. and things like that. Like, that's another thing. Like, okay, well, if they're, the Olympics are in August, so if they come out in September and there's Olympic flavor, they could potentially even get another little bit of a boost there too. So there's a lot that we don't know about their ability to deliver, but also there might be some other reasons that they're moving it up to try to further capitalize on something as big as the Olympics. And, there's not a whole lot. I mean, what is everybody, what's the top watched thing at the Summer Olympics every year? It's usually the top swimming events and the top track and field events and basketball.
It's gymnastics.
Rich. I mean, there's a lot, but I mean, basketball is always near the top of the most anticipated and highest rated.
Kind of. I mean, I wouldn't peg so much of this to the Olympics. I mean, Paul George may have an interesting story, and 2K has the truck to pull that off. I mean, Paul George is, an NBA all-star and a top performer. And yes, he's got an intriguing backstory to him, and that would be grist for a career mode. But the other thing that I think of is, if they're coming out, a month early, which is basically what they're signed up for here, what is getting shorted? Because there's always the bucket of, well, we have this much time and this much money to do this much with the game. And it's not just for NBA 2K. It's for Madden. Yeah. It's for NHL. It's for everybody else. So it's like, are we really going to see a career mode that has anywhere near the impact of what we saw last year with, Spike Lee or frankly, any of the 2 years before? Will we see with their career mode, their be the game thing, like just a suite of it? It's like they take everything that they've done over the past 3 years and put it together and say, here, pick your story that you want to play. And Paul George really has little to do with it. I don't know. But if they're really going to stake this to his personal story, I think this thing would be coming out, as late as it could, because there's all kinds of stuff that you have to pour into that. And I don't know.
There's also the possibility they're going to capitalize on Kobe Bryant in the game with a mode of sorts related to him, considering he's on the Legend Edition and they're including a bunch of digital content.
They've had a whole year to build for that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and on the West Coast with all kinds of access to build for that, too.
It's interesting. I think that they have... It's a shorter development cycle if you look at from when NBA 2K16 was released until when NBA 2K17 will be released. But on the other hand, there's a lot of things that they could do that were not tied directly to that release schedule. Multiple kinds of things, particularly related to something self-contained like a story mode, could be in the works for 2 or even 3 years.
Yeah.
In pre-production, and then be able to be done without having to sort of start and finish all within a 6-month cycle. While at the other time, some of your gameplay guys are doing what they do, which is they get 4 or 5 months of time to, develop specific modifications and things like that. So I don't know. It's all speculation. You're completely right, but I think if there's anybody that has proven that over a year-to-year span, they can and will deliver things that are, frankly, more compelling and more interesting than their competitors, not only in the sports game space, but in the video game space, it's the NBA 2K team. These guys know very well what they're doing and how to do it. So,
oh, completely, yes.
I have no doubt that whatever they're going to deliver is not going to be – like, I was thinking for a minute. I was like, what if there's any game that could get away with, quote-unquote, delivering less, like maybe even stripping out a single player story mode, it would probably be NBA 2K, right? Because of just what they've done.
They already have the most content of any game out there.
But that's not their style. They're not going to do that. Whatever they do this year is going to be just something that
I still keep wondering. They created the Jordan Challenge and they had the historical mode for NBA 2K12, and I keep going, when's that coming back? Oh, I mean, the skins for the TV presentation and the commentary surrounding it and all of that stuff. It's like, how could you only do that for a single year?
Well, and what people also forget, because it came out right at the time of the debut of the next generation consoles, but there was the LeBron James mode of the PS3,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Where you got to choose, you know, where he went and different things would happen and different events. You know, you wouldn't just play a full 82-game season. There would just be moments in time that you would play. And I thought it was fantastic, but hardly anybody talked about it because so many people were focused on the next-gen versions of that game. Something like that could come back as well, too. Something that I think it's almost like I would be happy with a remastered version of that, because I think most people didn't experience that. So, yeah, there's a lot that they can draw from.
If they remastered the Jordan Challenge, I mean, that would be a top 10 sports video game story of the year. I mean, that might be the number one sports video game story of the year. That would overtake Madden in my book. I mean, that thing was just absolute dynamite when it happened.
It is
timeless. Yes.
I mean, I'm speechless. It was that good, that compelling, had never been seen before. And then, like you said, the year after when they had the challenges, I mean, I completely lost. I probably lost 2 or 3 months to those challenges of the 50, of those greatest teams, because they were just so much fun and so interesting, because I don't know how they did it, but they really got Wilt Chamberlain to look and play like Wilt Chamberlain, and Jerry West to play like Jerry West, and Allen Iverson to play like Allen.
I mean, this is too. I mean, for the listeners, obviously, the historical teams that they've had in these modes, Jordan Challenge, and then 2K12, you know, for NBA's greatest, they have persisted, and that's been fantastic. That's great, you know. But you have to sort of, you know, choose to play them in your self-selected style. The NBA's greatest mode, where you were going through and you were playing in the old with the old rules, that was even better.
Yeah, no 3-pointers.
You're like, you're Jerry West and you're like, I'm going to shoot a three, and you're like, that counts two, brother. You know, that was like
black and white.
It's a head slap.
Yeah.
And it was such a wonderful, you know, distraction from. I think that was the wheelhouse of this franchise. I would love to see that come back.
Yeah, the two to make three free throws.
Yes, you could do that. Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy. So my initial response to this was, first of all, this is nuts. Like, yes, 2K can release whenever they want because they are the gorilla in the marketplace. They went up pretty much head-to-head against FIFA last year. And their sales still went up. They still broke records. FIFA still, you know, is the only game that's bigger than NBA 2K. And they're able to coexist on a worldwide scale. So they're not worried about that. But it is bad for consumers. And it's bad for other publishers. Because
is it?
Oh, absolutely.
Is it bad for consumers?
Yeah, you don't think so, Rich?
Why? What? When you say it's bad, like, I'm not purposely playing devil's advocate, but I don't know that I would use the word bad. I mean, am I going to have 60 more bucks a couple of weeks later? Keep going. I don't want to interrupt you.
Well, we were going to get to this later, Rich, why it affects consumers this way. But I'll hit on a few things right now. And that's, number one, you have to make different types of – you're forced to make different types of decisions because – your money is limited and your time is limited, and games releasing within just a few weeks of each other, as opposed to having a wider space between them. For a lot of people, that means choosing one over the other. And then it also squeezes out games. Just like we talked about last year, Can NHL recover when people are choosing other games over it? Can NBA Live possibly grow when there's so many other games releasing around it? And so we have fewer sports games now than ever before, but they're all releasing closer together than ever before also. So it creates a tough situation where games can't grow. They rely more on digital revenue, but people's money to spend on digital revenue is also limited. And then you end up with fewer sports games in the long run.
I think what you're seeing is basically like video game publishing sort of coalesces around that quarter, like the fall new TV schedule. And you know, the most popular sports in the United States and the world, I don't understand exactly why FIFA chooses September, but, you know, the domestic leagues in Europe are underway at that point, and, you know, I guess that's
well underway.
Yes.
Yeah. Not just started. They're a month in.
Right. So, you know, for whatever reason, FIFA has decided, okay, we're gonna squat on this month, and then everything else comes in. And I think it's just it is I agree, Brian. If you're like, I'm interested in sports, I'm interested in multiple sports, I'm interested in multiple sports, and I am interested in, you know, Battlefield. I'm interested in Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a budgeting issue. And I think a lot of writers, you know, I get bubbled too because I get either free stuff sent to me or I can, you know, take old things and use it for store credit, or I can just write it off of my taxes. I mean, that's a real dirty secret, but that's a whole other podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't face the same spending considerations that a lot of our listeners, my readers do. And I get that. But at the same time, what you're dealing with is, you know, leagues that, you know, the most interesting ones, they all kick off around the same time. And they all say, hey, we want our video games coming out around the time that we kick off. And I don't know what you can do to get out of that. And I see 2K Sports and Take-Two going, can we pull back from this somehow? But even then, it's like, what other month in what other month is an NBA video game, a simulation NBA video game going to release?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are they going to do it in, you know, around the finals? I mean,
this is the thing, is we've seen pretty much every other licensed sports game series, MLB The Show, Madden, these games have moved closer to the start of their regular seasons. Madden comes out about 2 weeks before the regular season starts. The Show comes out literally just a few days before the regular season starts. Because what they found, now they're not NBA 2K, that's a different story, but what they found is capitalizing on the excitement of the season beginning helped their initial sales and pre-orders and all that.
Well, then
2K is going the opposite direction.
Well, yeah, but I think it's on FIFA. Because it's like, when the hell is that opening day?
So,
and who sets that? And, you know,
I've asked that question, and I'm sure you have too, Owen. I've asked the question to the guys at FIFA, like, hey, how come you don't come out right around the middle of August? And they very politely said, well, you know, that's not our decision. You know, I think, and I don't know, but I just think that it's probably because August is a terrible time to release a video game because so many people are just not around. They're on vacation, and the next thing you know, you get back and there's a lot going on. I mean, you know, the people, you know, the one thing that I've learned over the last few years, especially, is that for the most part, people who are in senior executive positions in these organizations know what they're doing, and they're utilizing a lot of very good business intelligence about the buying patterns of people and when they can maximize their sales against what the, you know, against all of the different competitive factors in the market, not just other video games, not just other video games, but other things like movies and television, and the fact that in September a lot of people are going back to school. Like, there's so many factors in this, and I gotta believe, and I don't know this, but I gotta believe that It basically comes down to actuarial tables, and this is at least has been traditionally the no matter what else is going up against it, this is their best opportunity to maximize their sales because of the excitement around the start of the season and the excitement of that hope that you as a fan that this is going to be your year. And that's why, you know, and it's kind of what Owen said earlier, you know, these a lot of these games are a lot of these real sports sort of kick off around the same time, too.
To put a little extra point on this, and I'm sorry to butt in, Brian.
Go ahead.
But it's like, you know, could we consider that the November is like that's the blockbuster month.
Triple A month, yeah.
Exactly. You know, and everybody assumes it's because of Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything stops a week before Black Friday. They shove it all on that, you know, that day. There you go. But, you know, maybe also things were forced to November because the sports calendar has been so crowded. You know, coming out in the old days, it was like, you know, August or July was NCAA. August was Madden. September was FIFA. October was NHL and NBA, and when you look at the sales charts, and especially a decade ago, it's like those things are big sellers, you know, because they're big brands mainly. And sports, no matter how much they seem to be an outlier to our readerships, I mean, they're huge sellers. And so, you know, maybe, you know, the publisher said, well, hell, you know, we want to put this World War II shooter out there. October's not a great idea. And then they went to November, and now we have that. So, you know, that might be sort of how the natural selection of this falls out. And I don't know that this is necessarily a good or a bad thing or a resolvable thing. You know, if you're talking about resolution of this, or at least for variety, it's put arcade sports titles at the beginning of the year, but who the hell is developing those?
Yeah, sadly. So going back to kind of how it affects people, I wanted to read some tweets. I asked the question on Twitter, and I said, you know, how or does the compressed window of sports game releases, with almost all of them coming out within a month of each other, in August and September, affect what you buy? So here's some of the responses I got. JShrim23 said it doesn't impact what he buys, but it severely limits how deep and passionate he gets into each game. ChargersFan73, it doesn't keep me from buying them, but it doesn't end up affecting which ones I play. He said he hardly played NBA 2K at all because he didn't have time last year. Shady here says it might make him wait for some Black Friday deals, especially with all the patches that come post-release. Got Danny G13. He said it didn't used to affect him, but now as a father with limited time, he'll get FIFA and then choose between Madden or 2K, depending on if they convince him to buy it. Senior NASCAR says absolutely it affects him. EA Access helps him decide which games to buy. The trial allows him to sample the game to see if it's worth it, so coming in handy there. We got Max McAdoo says, goes with the idea that they're cannibalizing their business, forcing consumers into making tougher purchasing choices, which is what I referred to earlier. Kool-Aid the Great says it doesn't affect him. He just prepares early in the year to buy all of them. So I guess if you're saving up $300 or something early in the year, that's one approach. Still hurts the pocketbook when you have to shell out all that. And then Burns2211 says, I'll still buy what I usually get, but I feel really bad about myself. So it affects people. Now, these are outliers or what, but they're certainly out there. And I say this because, Rich, you were talking about sales numbers and how they know when to release them and everything. The problem is, what sports games have actually been growing in terms of sales? NBA 2K? That's it.
Well,
nobody else is growing. They're all growing their digital revenue, but yes, their actual sales, for the most part, the Maddens of the world, NBA Lives, the NHLs, their sales numbers are way down from where they were a few years ago.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. what matters is the revenue that they're generating, and the revenue that they're generating is going up.
Yeah, but if they sold more copies, they would have more people putting into their digital side of things too.
Of course. Yeah. However,
there is an expectation of comfort here. I mean, if the lack of physical copy or whole game sales was a real pain point for Electronic Arts, they would ask the NFL. They have an exclusive with the NFL. They have an exclusive with FIFA. They can move that date.
Mm-hmm.
And they would. And if it mattered, they would. So maybe we can look on this, EA not moving the Madden FIFA date and not growing physical sales, to the degree that others are, or, not at the rate that they have in the past. I haven't looked at the figures, so I'm talking off the top of my head. That's one thing. Maybe 2K is sort of that in the inverse, which is we're going to push this back, but we're also pushing it back because we're going to start pressing down on the digital revenue earlier in the cycle. We're going to make this a whole year title.
Yeah, I mean, that's why. I mean, sports games are not in a different. They're not experiencing anything different than the entire video game industry is. Sales are down. I mean, if you look at it, doesn't matter what metric you look at, sales are down. However, in a number of areas, the profits are up because of the move from physical to digital. And sports games are the best example of that. Even if Madden sales have gone down 5 or 10%, I don't know that they have, or even if they've stayed flat, and this is the only reason I know this is because they're a public company and they have to share this information. They don't share the sales figures, but they do share the revenue figures, and the revenue figures have gone up and gone up exponentially because of Ultimate Team and because of the fact that they haven't had to make as many package games and they can sell more digitally, and because they've figured it out. They have a regular stream of new content, and they've cultivated groups of people that just play Madden. They don't play Madden and NBA and MLB the show. They just play Madden. And not just sports games. A number of video games have just become a pure platform. In fact, sports games are better off than most because they can still get away with releasing the $60 version every year and being the platform, as opposed to the League of Legends of the world and some, the Dota 2s of the world, where they don't have that. And so it doesn't matter so much that the sales are not going up, because more and more players are picking one or two games, and that's what they play for a year, and that's where they spend their time, and that's where they spend their money. The days of people buying Madden, playing a couple of seasons, winning a Super Bowl, and then putting it away are much less prevalent than they were before. And what that means, this will be the first fall that me as a consumer will have to make these choices. For the last 7, 8, 9 years, I basically, thanks to doing reviews for various places and doing this show, I've gotten basically all of the games delivered to me, and I've had to play them and to review them. And this fall, the games have their work cut out for me, what I'm going to go out there and buy. I'm not going to buy every game this fall. I'm going to buy Madden. I know that because of our Press Row League. I'm going to buy Pro Evolution because I love that franchise. And after that, I don't know what I'm going to get. The game's got to win me over.
You're seriously not going to buy NBA 2K17, Rich.
Okay, you're right. I'm going to buy NBA 2K17 okay. as well.
All right.
Good call.
Okay.
But
NHL, you're Devils. Come on, Rich.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I get 10 hours of NHL 17 with EA Access.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
That might be all I need. Or that might be all I need for 6 months until I pick it up somewhere for $5 or $10.
Until it's added to the vault for free, Rich.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. Like EA Access is somebody, one of the people who tweeted at you mentioned that. Like that's another thing, right? I mentioned at the top, EA Access completely I get 10 hours of these games now, no matter whether I buy them or not. And that matters. That is immaterial.
I don't want to turn this into an advertisement for EA Access, but if you are a sports gamer on a budget and you're going, do I really need the next game? Can I still get out of the old game what scratches my itch as a sports fan? You know, let's see what the new one's offering. It's incremental or esoteric or subtle or whatever. You know, EA Access is a pretty good value for that. And, you know, that's especially for those who are in like franchise modes or, you know, these big, long, complex modes where where they are in their years, there's no reality to it because it's all fake players and such. You know, EA Access is the thing that says, whoa, this thing really is playing different. I need to start the hell over. Because of that 10 hours that you get with each game and, of course, you know, the preview, you know, you get it 5 days before launch date, which is a nice little bonus. It's what is it? $30 a year, $5 a month. Mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
Yep. Yeah. $30 a year. And between the sports games and the other stuff, like the Mirror's Edge game, I can play that right now for 6 hours. I would not have played that game, would not have bought it, but I'm going to check it out on EA Access. I mean, a lot of that stuff.
You know, people hate to credit EA because it's the evil empire, still is, but that's a lot of value. And if sports gamers really are, if multiple sports gamers really are feeling the pinch, if you really do have an interest in soccer, American football, basketball and all of that, you know, get EA Access and go, do I really need to pick up Madden this year? Don't take my word for it. We're going to, you know, see everything that Madden is going to talk about in Los Angeles in a couple of weeks. And that's great and everything. And you still come out of that going, well, you know, should I pick it up or not? You know, get Access and see for yourself and then go, oh, I had 10 hours with this and that's really all I need. And really, when you think about it, how many times as a multiple sports gamer, I mean, you know, somebody across big titles, how many of them are you really playing for more than 10 hours?
Well, that's why this fall is going to be so interesting to me, because I'm not getting all the games. I'm just not. I'm going to play all of them because of EA Access, and I'm going to buy NBA 2K because I think it deserves my money. I'm going to buy Pro Evolution 2017 because I think it deserves my money. And I'm going to,
you know, your child, I don't know how you're going to pay for college.
Oh, I'm not. That's a whole other story.
And you should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, I am.
Trust me. Let me ask you this, because we all really recognize the value of EA Access. Now, what do you think of, because we've discussed the idea of subscription plans before, but a higher tier of EA Access that includes games for good when they release, you know, whatever it might be, $130 for a year, and you get every EA Sports game and every EA game. Would that help alleviate the issue?
Couldn't put a price point that high. It'd have to be $60. It'd have to be like, buy Madden and get everything.
But I mean, when you say alleviate the problem, Brian, I'm not sure that it is as big of a problem as we think it is, because I'm not saying it isn't, but like again, I look at me, like I'm in a different position in my life this fall, but I don't feel the need to play all of the games. Mm-hmm. I feel the need to play the games that to play.
Yeah, absolutely. I know most don't.
Right.
But there is overlap, and there's
right.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't pay more than the money that I'm already paying for EA Access, because I personally, again, I'm just talking about me. I'm not trying to represent the voice of anybody other than Rich Grisham. The 10 hours I get of NHL, of Madden, of FIFA, that's 30 hours. That'll take me a month, maybe a month and a half.
Not everybody has an Xbox One, Rich. PS4 doesn't offer EA Access,
which is another issue. I'm saying for me, it's not a problem, because over the course of 6 to 8 weeks, I won't even be able to experience all of those things. So, but yeah, you know, if you're the kind of person who loves sports games and you want to play all the new releases when they come out, yes, you have a big problem. But I really think, Brian, that there's a lot less of those people than there are of the other folks who are just the casual sports game fans who don't necessarily know when the release date is. They just know that at some point, they're probably going to want to check out Madden or check out NBA 2K or check out FIFA or something like that.
You know, I think back to my gaming habits before I got into this business, which was 2008. And there was a stretch, 2006, and I was disappointed and confused by what Madden was trying to do, you know, as it entered the new console generation. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to play baseball and college football. And so I definitely get that. And I think you're right about that, Rich.
So, look, there's like a simple solution to all of this. And one of it was touched on earlier with the soccer games. Really, they should release in July to coincide with the start of the seasons around the world, Premier League, all that. NBA should back up to mid-October, and then everything would be fine again. But they're not going to do that. They're not going to you know, come together and say, hey, let's separate these games all out, unfortunately. But, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy, a four-week period where, you know, what really hurts is not – It doesn't hurt the 2Ks. It doesn't hurt the FIFAs. It doesn't hurt the Maddens. It hurts the NASCARs. It hurts the NHLs. It hurts the independent developer who wants to get a game out around that. It hurts the PC Sims. Cough. You know.
You guys launched in February, Rich.
Well, he's talking the hockey one though.
Yeah, I want to talk about this. I want to solve a problem here. We're talking about it. As I mentioned at the top, Franchise Hockey Manager, it's one of the games that Out of the Park Development makes. Franchise Hockey Manager 3, it's not yet been officially announced, but trust me, it's going to exist. And it's going to have a pretty significant it's going to have a significant layer to it this year than it's never had before. And there's a couple things going on in the world of hockey, right? There's the World Cup of Hockey, which takes place in September. The NHL season starts in September. What am I supposed to do with this game? Now, granted, it's not a console game, right? It is a PC strategy game. But this game needs to be released. Do I try to convince the development team to kill themselves to get it released in late August? When nobody in the world is thinking about hockey, even the people who play the sport,
yeah.
Do I wait until late September or early October when we're past the release date of the big boy console games, when everybody's already spent all of their money and the World Cup is 2 or 3 weeks old? Or do I say, you know what? I'm going to release this Franchise Hockey Manager 3, you know, a critical game in this franchise's history right in the middle of this. What do I do? What do we do with Franchise Hockey Manager 3?
Well, that's why we should have really been concentrating on this side of things, because it's not the fully established games that are the ones in trouble because of this. It's the ones because people are going to take their money and they're going to spend it on the games they know, the ones they've been playing for a decade, the ones their friends are getting, right? And so the games that are trying to emerge or are trying to grow and reach an audience, they're the ones that struggle. And like Franchise Hockey Manager, they're rich. I don't know what the best solution is there, because there's advantages and disadvantages to each option you just listed out.
I'm looking for answers here, guys. I'm not looking for questions. Tell me what to do.
Well, let's see. I would probably go so this would be me, because this is,
in my professional opinion, you should drink heavily.
So the one advantage you have is that most of the normal sports games that we've just been talking about are not on PC. Yeah, NBA 2K is on PC. But that's it. So you have the PC audience and the sim audience, the simulation management games. That crowd that really enjoys those.
It's a different crowd.
It is totally different crowd for the most part. Totally different crowd. And so if it was me, I would set that game in October.
Okay.
Because I don't know if they're going to have spent all their money, because this is more like a destination game for the hardcore hockey yeah. fans, and they're going to want to spend their money on hockey. They're probably not going to have spent their money on Madden necessarily. So that's what I would do. That's what I would look as the best option of the bunch, okay. rather than putting it out early.
I think the boutique products are the ones who go, we're going to release when we want to release. And I think that that is what NBA 2K has decided to do by moving its date up, which has caused this entire discussion. But I think that they recognize that they're like, we're a destination product, as you put, Brian. You know, this is something that people have circled on their calendar and will carve out of their budget. You know, Christ almighty, how much of all of us, you know, consider the entirety of our incomes discretionary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, what? Thank God for revolving credit. You know, it's what keeps my household going, and I'm the only one who lives here. But you know, it is that kind of a judgment. And again, you know, these publishers don't act unintelligently. They may make decisions that don't pan out, but they have intelligence. They have information that says, if you put it here, it should work. And yeah. and that's
yeah.
that's why we've seen this move here. So, again, you know, us wringing our hands about, you know, the sports gamer and, you know, the clustered release schedule and all that other nonsense. I mean, when the hell do you want these things to come out? November, like NCAA basketball? That right. thing, you know, yeah. I remember I wrote a column about NCAA basketball, and the executive producer was like, we consider ourselves, you know, competitive with Call of Duty. And people laughed at him and laughed at me for repeating that. And it was deserved laughter because it didn't sell. And the series got closed down. It would have gotten closed down by Ed O'Bannon anyway, but who cares?
Yeah.
You know, let's not get too much into our heads here. And also let's not be so much of consumer advocates that we go, everyone is entitled to spread out their games purchases over a 12-month span, because it don't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. and these also are marketed as and assumed to be bought as impulse purchases.
Mm-hmm.
And I make those impulse purchases myself too, rarely, okay. because I have a lot of prerogative and perks, and I understand that. But, you know, that's where this is as flatly a consumer product as you can get.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's as I look at the calendar and I try to figure out what's the right thing to do. I mean, this discussion was just, you know, reverberating in my head. I'm like, okay, this is a hockey game. It's tied to the sport of hockey. If you release, you know, too late, it's ridiculous. If you release too early, it's ridiculous. And if you release at what looks like the right spot on the calendar, you're up against everything yeah. Yeah, else in the world.
It's not even just
the right spot on the calendar might be the best time.
Yeah. And that's and unlike EA and unlike Activision and unlike Take-Two, we don't have data scientists who can you know produce the kind of data and business intelligence and analytics that can do it. So I have two choices, right? I can three choices, and I've already done one. Is I can run surveys in the market and see when would you be most excited to you know purchase mm-hmm. Franchise Hockey Manager 3, which we've done, and then I can go with my gut, which kind of feels like right around the time of the quarterfinals of the World Cup of Hockey is kind of the right time for it. Hmm. Or I could basically try to piggyback off of the hard work that the big guys are doing. And if they're saying I'm releasing right in September, saying, well, if these guys know what they're doing, I should probably think that I should probably sort of copycat them, right?
Well, it's also
a little tiny developer.
It's also about exposure too, Rich, because you know, how does any game within that like 4 to 5 weeks, how does any game get attention when there's so many others, you know, press releases and everybody jumping into the games and reporting the latest yeah. news on them and stuff? It's like, how do you, because you don't have a budget to do like commercials on during the World Cup of Hockey, right?
That is correct. We do not.
So, you know, it's like, how do you reach and how do you get the attention of people when they may be distracted by all these other massive things going on?
Right. That's so. Right. And the world that we live in, you can get so much more information about what people are interested in and how they behave, but yet there's still so much that you do that is based upon your gut and what you hope is the right thing to do. It's kind of amazing, right? It's just that's the world that we're in right now. It's fascinating.
Yeah, well, this was an interesting discussion, guys. I appreciate you coming on. I think even as the quality of sports games for the most part has risen, and that's necessary because there's fewer than ever before, consumers are going to be in a tough spot, or some consumers at least, later this year. And the choices they make with their money could ultimately affect how these sports games are developed and which ones actually survive. So it might be a scary situation, and maybe there's need for change. Maybe these things just continue to go on as they are and everybody survives. But there's a little uncertainty over that, so we'll just have to see. Thank you, Rich Grisham from Out of the Park Developments, Owen Good from Polygon. Follow them on Twitter at their names. I'm Pasta Padre. Take care till next time.